Abdel Sattar Idi's mission is synonymous with this sprawling port city, where rickshaws bearing veiled women, scooters spewing smoke, and drivers pressing palms to horns all squeeze in the narrow streets through spaces as thin as a ray of hope. Amid the chaos in an aging building is the 8-by-8-foot room Abdel Idi bought nearly 60 years ago as a dispensary. He arrived with the mass migration of Muslims from India 6 days after Pakistan's independence. Idi was barely 20 when he began the work that would make him arguably the most respected figure in Pakistan.
I saw people lying on the pavement. The flu had spread in Karachi, and there was no one to treat them. So I set up benches, and I got medical students to volunteer. I was penniless, and I begged for donations on the street, and people gave. I bought this 8-by-8 room to start my work.
The single room has grown to a 3-story headquarters. Donations, mostly from ordinary Pakistanis, topped $36 million this year. The vast philanthropic network offers Karachi's poorest what could be called cradle-to-grave service. In this maternity ward, one of two the foundation runs in Karachi, a newborn wails her way into life. 1 million children have been delivered in Idi facilities across Pakistan since 1948, virtually for free, according to Abdel Idi. His wife, Bilkis, runs this operation with a sunny disposition that contrasts with the suffering here. Just 40 minutes after this latest delivery, the mother, grimacing in pain, gets up to leave.
And you actually told her to stay a half hour longer.
In the past, they would stay for 3 days, Bilkis says, but now, even if they have stitches, she says, the women don't linger. And while the newborn's mother says this is her third child, Bilkis Idi suspects it is her sixth. Islam is driving this, she says. With conservative clerics calling family planning haram or forbidden, she says women keep producing babies. And these women, Bilkis says, are dying in the process. A bright pink veil carelessly lies across Bilkis's head. At 62, her skin still glows. Despite bypass surgery, she continues a marathon schedule devoted to helping impoverished women. Bilkis says in this conservative society, their problems start from birth. When a baby girl is born here, the man storms out cursing his wife, she says. But whenever there is a male born, the men celebrate and offer us tea. She adds, most of the babies who are left in the cradle at our doorstep are girls. Sometimes the babies are tossed in garbage heaps, gagged and wrapped in plastic bags. In 1 week, she says, we can get as many as 11 dead babies. They are brought here. To the Idi morgue, where the acrid smell of embalming is in the air. Employees who are paid a small stipend load a corpse to be taken to the cemetery.
Standing before this small ambulance, they've just laid inside a body. It's a long, slender body prepared for burial. It bears a number, but it bears no name.
The Idi Foundation buries bodies that cannot be identified. Mohammed Salim and I follow the makeshift hearse as it snakes its way to the Idi Foundation cemetery on the outskirts of the city. For the past 24 years, Salim has been a driver for the Idi Ambulance Service, which now operates throughout the entire country. Salim recalls his first assignment.
Mr. Idi sent us to collect a dead body, and the stink was so unbearable, I couldn't stand it. We all ran. We came back with Mr. Idi, who showed us how to pick up a dead body and transport it. We work long hours, but we're at ease. We have a kind of spiritual peace, because somehow we're serving humanity.
The two young men being laid to rest this day will be interred in a place as bleak as their lives likely were. The van bearing their bodies bumps along the potholed, unpaved streets. Little boys rush to sneak a peek through the window, while babies sit like Buddhas in the endless debris. Gravediggers cover the corpses that have been slipped into the earth of this forlorn field with nothing but a white sheet to shroud them. In Karachi, death comes without pity. There is not an area of social need that the Edie Foundation has not touched. Raising money for the families displaced by the fighting in Swat Valley and pleading with judges to reform the prisons. The group has also placed more than 19,000 abandoned babies with adoptive parents.
Did you want a girl?
Yeah, definitely.
Karachi lawyer Tahira Hassan says Bilkis Edie took her utterly by surprise when she called to say that her baby was ready, but her husband wasn't. He was away.
So I called him up and I was like, the baby's come. He's like, how do you know? How will you know? How will you know it's the right one? I said, well, it's the right one. It's there. So, you know, I went and got her.
Maya is now three and looking forward to having a baby sister from the Edie Foundation. Mother and daughter visit Bilkis Edie regularly so that Maya will have a connection to the people Tahira calls phenomenal.
Because the kind of misery that they deal with on a day-to-day basis, and they still look at the positive of things.
Abdul Edie, bearded and slight, calls himself a pragmatic humanist. He's also been called a communist for his belief that the rich enslave the poor. In fact, Edie says poverty is spreading terrorism.
Almost all of our leaders are involved in looting and plundering, and the Taliban are a reaction to that.
Everyone said I was crazy to marry him, says wife Bilkis, and friends joked that while they'd go on picnics, he'd take me to graveyards. But the man who built Pakistan's biggest social service network with no formal education says he does feel a bit crazy, and he revels in it.
I feel happy. There's so much craftiness and cunning and lying in the world. I feel happy that God made me different from the others. I helped the most oppressed.
Bilkis Edie says three or four more crazy people like him could change the destiny of Pakistan. Julie McCarthy, NPR News.